Resolution 25-515, moved by Councilor Keckin, second by Councilor Ryland, be it resolved that Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar is hereby reconvened into regular open session of Council at
6:30.
6:30 p.m. Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Resolution 25-516, moved by Councilor Haskam, second by Councilor Zulak. Be resolved that Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby accept the reports, recommendations, and directions arising from the closed session held on December the 2nd, 2025. Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. In the spirit of reconciliation and cooperation, we wish to acknowledge that the land on which we gather is the traditional territory of the Anishinaabe and the Mississauga people. Its boundaries fall within the Robinson-Huron Treaty of 1850 and the Williams Treaty of 1923. We are grateful to live here, and we thank all the generations of people who have taken care of this land for thousands of years. To honor the suffering of Indigenous people and the love and wisdom they have carried for thousands of years, we pledge to work in community and harmony with each other and the environment we inhabit, and work towards truth and reconciliation. Back in open session, so a roll call once again.
Councillor Morley Haskam.
Councillor Debbie Zulak.
Councillor Nick Ryland.
Councillor Mike Eckman.
Administrator Carly Britton.
Public Works Superintendent Thomas Tolman.
Mayor David Moore. Any declarations of pecuniary and a personal interest in the general nature thereof. And I'll reiterate, as I did at the beginning, for 20.5, I'll declare a potential conflict on that one. So we've moved, if you're here at the beginning, item 17.2 to precede item 14.1. So we have resolution 25-517, moved by Councillor Haskam, second by Councillor Zulak. Resolved the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby receive report PW 2025-12 from Public Works Superintendent Thomas Stoneman, and further the Council award CAT or CAT the contract to supply the Township with one CAT 420 backhoe at a cost of $202,272.30 plus HST of $26,295.40 for a total of $228,567.70. Open it up for discussion, but we have Tom here, Public Works Superintendent, so I don't know whether you want to expand on your report. Or
no, it's, the prices come in very good. if I search it on the internet just as a regular consumer, prices come in around $230,000. We purchased through Canoe, but we still went to, we're going to purchase through Canoe Buyers Group. But we still went to two vendors, so there's a little bit of competition, and I think it worked out well for us. Tormont CAT came in slightly under by a few thousand bucks. It's not a lot when you're talking 200. But they also, the documents I have show that it's there's certain advantages to that machine. And one of the things that I noticed, and the crew, I involved the crew in the decision. They met the salespeople and the support people. CAT offered better service support, that they were pretty impressed with Caterpillar. So that's my recommendation.
Well, we have one right now, CAT 420, right?
Yes.
And how long have we had that?
It's 6 or 7 years old. It has a mechanical problem right now. So, but it's been, other than that, it's been a good machine.
Okay. Councillor Keckin.
So you mentioned that the staff met with the sales representative. Did the staff have an opportunity to drive a demo model of each of the units, the John Deere and the CAT?
They didn't. Of course, they did the CAT because we have one.
But
John Deere offered a demonstrator, but didn't follow through.
So the CAT that we currently have, is there any upgrades, changes from that model year to the current, this model year that is potentially going to be purchased?
Yeah, the transmission will be different, in that it'll be an automatic transmission, which will suit us better as a municipality because we spend a lot of time driving it down.
Counselor Gonzalez.
Okay, so Tom, in here it says it comes with a 6-year powertrain warranty included and bumper to bumper for the first year, right?
Yeah.
So then underneath there it says powertrain / hydraulic and tech warranty. Do you know what the tech warranty is? What is the tech warranty?
It's the all the electronics stuff and the computer stuff nowadays. So I looked at that, and I don't think you put it in the resolution because you used the $202,000 number.
Yeah,
but I thought with adding that enhanced warranty covers more things.
Yeah.
For 6 years, and the additional cost was $3,100 or $3,150.
Yeah,
I think it's worthwhile spending the extra $3,150.
Now, is that for, do you know how long that warranty is, that extra warranty?
It's the 6 years.
It's for 6 years.
Yeah,
also.
So it'll include engine and powertrain, plus hydraulics and tech, is the way they describe it.
And hydraulics is like all the pumps and everything?
All the pumps and valves. And
the powertrain is anything that makes it move,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And also, I was just wondering, too, because it says, the service agreement is not in there. Do you not think that would be worthwhile to have the service agreement for $2,700?
I do, and I will bring it forward at budget time because it's an operating expense.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's worthwhile. I've looked at all the options they have for service agreements.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to put it in with the purchase, you know what I mean, on the capital
mm-hmm.
side of the budget. It's an ongoing expense. Always in the operating side, we have a certain number of dollars per machine for repair and maintenance. And that estimate they gave us for 6 years of owning the machine, a 6-year maintenance agreement.
Oh, I thought that said yearly.
Yeah, but you can buy one for 6 years. So
okay.
If you,
so it's
you know $2,700
times
machine,
the six.
Yeah. We didn't put a number in there. We shouldn't have put a number in there because it's not $700.
No, I said 27.
$2,700.
So it's approximately $2,700 per year.
Oh, yeah. Yes. And that'll be 6 years. Or what was it?
Per
I don't
year.
Have the information.
Per year.
I mean.
Per year.
Yeah.
Yeah,
$2,700 per year, which is... If you look at our annual operating budget, we use it for $10,000 per machine in because you never know what's going to happen.
Right.
So
if they're doing the maintenance, they're doing the oil changes and all of that, if something goes faulty, they're responsible.
Anything that's covered under that warranty and anything that's general maintenance, oil changes and transmission changes, that's all going to be covered, including, which is important with these companies now because they all come from Sudbury, including their travel. So that $2,700 includes travel. There's no surprise bill.
And do you know how many times do they do the oil change? And they pay
they
for
do
the
it,
oil?
They
the
do it by the hour, right?
Okay.
Yeah.
That was another question I was going to ask you. So how many hours do you figure you put on a whole year?
500.
Yeah, I was going to say, it can't be 1,000 at the very most.
Yeah,
because
based on the machine that we have, it's about
500. Okay.
And that's what that quote is based on.
Right.
And in that, I think we'd get a visit from them once a year. And if they're going away.
Okay.
Yeah.
But if you called them, they would come?
If I called them, they would come.
Yeah.
I mean, if it's not a regular service, we have to pay for that, but they're going to know the machine.
We're going to pay like 6 years at $2,700 or thereabouts.
Yes.
What happens if we wrote off the machine in year one? We just eat the cost for the final 5 years?
No, you would terminate the maintenance agreement because obviously they don't have to.
Okay, so it's just a question.
They will bill us by the hour. They have different ways of billing that. So they track by satellite the hours on the machine. That's how they know when to come and change the oil. And they will also bill you that way.
Okay.
So if you only put 10 hours on this month, that's what they do.
That's fine. You satisfied my leeriness of that email. So.
Councilor Kaitlin?
It's nice to have all these warranties and service agreements, but the question is,
The current cat that we have is approximately 6 years old, and it has some type of problems with it.
Yep.
We have a John Deere that's from 2002. The price of these units are pretty well the same, so why are we considering a unit that has not proven to be bulletproof in this municipality and spend that kind of money, whereas we have a unit that's from 2002, which we've heard is being an incredible machine, basically for the same price, and you know, maybe a little bit difference in some of the details, but you know, if the service service agreement issues aren't up to par for what or comparable to the other one, if it doesn't need to be serviced because it's bulletproof, well, then that's it's a non-issue.
The only way you'll get one as reliable as that 2002 John Deere is to buy another 2002 John Deere, because the engines have changed drastically since 2002. The machines have changed drastically since 2002. I've learned my lesson already doing this. Case backhoe was the number one backhoe in the world for years. As soon as they put emissions control on them because of all their diesel regulations, I bought one when I worked at Whitestone and got rid of one that was a cat that was causing its problems through neglect, not through any fault of cats. And I had to rent a machine with a brand new one sitting in the yard that wouldn't run. Did I ever look like a fool? Because it wasn't the number one selling backhoe in the world anymore. Their engineers didn't figure out the emissions stuff correctly. And it was a $200,000 waste of money.
I think it's like anything. The older trucks and everything, you can keep them running, you can do stuff with them. That's the case with the John Deere. And like with the newer stuff with the emissions and all of that on it, and computers and stuff, it's almost impossible to.
Okay. But that's anecdotal. I want to see some actual evidence. We have a 6-year-old cat that has issues, and I want to have a comparable model of John Deere. I want to hear, you know, when you read the consumer reports, that this John Deere, since such and such year, has problems. That's not in this report, and it's not.
It doesn't have problems. The cat was less money. They offered more features and better support. So that's my conclusion. I say in the report that they're very similar. Very similar. There's minor differences. You can reach higher with the Caterpillar. Like there's minor differences. One has 1 gallon per minute hydraulic flow more than the other. It means nothing to the implement that you're running. They're both reliable machines. They both have good mechanics. But what was presented to us, the Cat was a better machine.
By a salesman.
By a 20-year technician that serviced them for 20 years, and he's now their salesman. And prior to meeting him, I probably would have preferred the John Deere because of the experience with the cat we have. But the experience with the cat we have is our own fault. We didn't communicate well enough with Toromont Cat on that. And if you want to go into details, I think we should be enclosed to talk about it. But the service this time will be different.
And you'd mentioned as well that the road crew had an opportunity, they had their say in this as well?
Yeah, to talk to both representatives.
But they didn't have a chance to physically test out 2 demo models. Like, I think that says a lot too. When you're on the machine, you can feel things that are more robust. You know, when you're actually sitting in the seat using the machine, I think that. I would say that that's pretty important in the decision making. I just want to make sure that, you know, 2 years from now, we're not sitting here saying, oh gosh, you know, maybe we should have looked into the John Deere a little bit further. So this is just due diligence. This is making sure that we're making the right decision and that we're doing a thorough review of the information that's presented, and what we need to know is has been considered or not been considered in the decision making process.
Councilor Zulak.
So did John Deere have a maintenance agreement?
They did, and I didn't like it. It was shady.
Yeah. And
Did they also have the powertrain hydraulic warranty?
Yeah, they had similar scenarios, not...
Because I don't
any,
see
each
that.
Each scenario wasn't as good, and I read the fine print. And you're not dealing with John Deere, you're dealing with Brandt. They have the rights to sell John Deere in Canada. It's a separate company.
Okay.
It's the only place you can buy a John Deere here in Canada. You read the fine print, and then it says oil not included. Who gets an oil change agreement with the oil not included?
Yeah, that's
and,
what I...
And in their quote, when I put my boots on to come to the meeting, I left my file by my chair, so... But in their quote, there's this statement, 5-year warranty, and then it says travel included. 5-year warranty, travel included. So I'm looking at it, and I'm thinking, they've won this thing because they're a couple of $1,000 cheaper. And read it over, talked to their sales team again, not just the guy that's visiting us, but to the people in Sudbury. Oh, that's any warranty work. We don't charge a travel for 5 years. The warranty's extra. So that's why in the report, you see the additional. So we had the option of
additional
a 5-year warranty.
$5,189,
which made them quite a bit higher than Caterpillar. And I just thought that's dirty cool. You know what I mean? Like, it's a misleading statement that if I hadn't asked the question, we would have bought a machine thinking we had a 5-year warranty and not had a 5-year warranty. We would have had a 1-year warranty.
Councilor Zula.
So this motion is to purchase.
Right. But the report talks about leasing.
Right, but this is to purchase.
My recommendation is to purchase this. Our treasurer has talked to us about...
Yeah, different.
Yeah, different, and I think he's provided a supplementary report, and I'm not an expert in that field, so...
No. So, if we were to accept... to vote on that, could we change it to include the 3150?
Yes.
For the powertrain hydraulic and tech warranty.
Yeah. Harley's doing that right now.
And all the HST we get back, right?
Most of it.
Like we get back the HST on the 3150, right? And would it not be better, Tom, if you just did the service agreement yearly?
Yeah.
Instead of 6 years?
But the price, the length of time you're getting it affects the price.
Okay.
And
you said you can cancel at anything.
Well, we did everything over 6 years because Roshan was looking at that was the best lease, and I don't know what his recommendation to you is. He was presented a couple of different leasing options. So everything I did with them for maintenance or warranty was 6 years to cover the length of time we had the machine. And the other side of that is in fleet management. Everything I read, it's recommended that you trade or sell that machine, even if we bought it outright, at 6 years we should be looking at replacing it, because cost of ownership starts to go up after 6 years, and it's just the economical thing to do.
It shouldn't, if it's a good unit and lasts 20 years, it shouldn't.
And if it only puts 500 hours, right, a year.
Yeah, 500 hours a year.
If it's a good unit, like you're saying, right? Like the John Deere.
So we do get the 2,600 and 295 hours in HST back?
Yes, there's a formula that the municipality gets the HST back. It's not 100%, but it's very close.
Okay. Just wondering, where does that show up? Like, you know, when you look at our budgets, you never see, when you accumulate all this HST year after year, it never shows up anywhere. Where is that money going?
That's a question for the treasurer.
Yeah, we're going to find that out.
Yeah. He probably looked at the figures. He's got it as income and expense. I imagine it balances out, but he'd have more detail, I'm sure.
Okay.
initially you have to pay it and then you get a certain amount back. Okay, the amendment is, we've just added a third clause, further that the powertrain slash hydraulic and tech warrant in the amount of $3,150 be included in the machine purchase. Councilor Zula? Speaking to the amendment now?
Yeah.
Okay.
Should that say for 6 years or is that known?
That's no, it's known. It's in the...
Like it says a 6 year powertrain and then... So that's a known fact? It'll be for 6 years?
So you want to add for each of 6 years?
I think it'd be better, right?
Is it 3150 once or 3156 times?
3150 once.
Okay.
Okay.
Fine. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I make sure they're understanding, that's all.
It was in it, yeah.
Well, that might change that then too, the wording.
Pardon me?
If it's just a one time, you said it's for each year?
No.
No.
Well, then that wording is, it's not for each of them, I guess. It's just one time.
Yeah, a one-time fee. You could say over 6 years, although we're only buying one, so yeah, that wouldn't be appropriate.
Did you say the tech warranty was again, just for my...
I think it's on the computer parts. And
oh, computer, yeah, okay.
Yeah. And the emissions is covered under powertrain,
that was pretty,
which is important to have emissions warranty.
Yeah, you think it would be.
Amendment says further the powertrain slash hydraulic and tech warrant in the amount of $3,150 be included in the machine purchase, being a one time fee for a period of 6 years.
Oh, that sounds good.
Okay. Any further discussion on that amendment? Call the question on the amendment. All those in favor? None opposed? And then on the resolution itself, 25-517, as amended. Call the question. All those in favor?
One opposed.
One opposed. Okay, so that's carried.
Thank you.
Mm. Now we're back here again.
That didn't sound good.
Thank you.
Back to 14.1. Resolution 25-518, moved by Councilor Kekkonen, second by Councilor Ryland. Be it resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby approve the minutes of the November 18th, 2025 regular meeting of Council and the minutes of the special meeting of Council on November 21st, 2025 as circulated. Any discussion of the minutes? Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. On to 16.1. Have resolution 25-519. Moved by Councilor Zulak, second by Councilor Haskell. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar to hereby receive the meeting minutes of August 27th, 2025, District of Parry Sound West, Belvedere Heights, Board of Management. For information purposes. Any discussion of those minutes? Councilor Kekkonen?
9.1, building update, construction update, talks about John continues to identify deficiencies in the original design, such as a vestibule at the future main entrance. So these deficiencies. Because the build is well underway, is it? Right
oh,
now?
Yeah. I'm going to talk about it
okay.
in my
okay,
committee.
Thank you. Okay.
Yeah.
Yep.
Any further discussion? Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. On to item 17.1. Resolution 25-520, moved by Councilor Kekkonen, second by Councilor Ryland. Be it resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar is hereby received report to MIN-2025-22 for information purposes and further that council authorizes the mayor and clerk to execute change order number one to the depot operations agreement number 2024-00-120. Discussion? Would Carly have more information for us? That report detailed enough?
At the October 7, 2025 meeting, we brought a change order for the council with circular materials. At that meeting, it was deferred because we'd gotten word from our municipal working group that CMO was going to allow commingling of ineligible and eligible materials. So we wanted to wait until that change order specified that. I'm in contact with circular materials frequently, and they have told me that they're still awaiting RCRA's approval for the methodology to determine the allowable portion of blended material for municipalities. So we are not going to see that written in the change order. They are wanting us to execute the agreement as soon as possible because January 1st is just around the corner. So to ensure that there isn't any service interruptions or whatnot, they are asking that we execute the change order as is. And then once RCRA approves the methodology, they will write that into another change order, and we will sign that again in the new year.
So on page 2 of 3, it mentions MTERRA has expressed a willingness to work with the township regardless of whether the two compactor bins currently used for recycling are purchased by MTERRA or removed for household waste, with MTERRA providing two replacement compactor bins for recycling if the bins so if MTERRA is so if the township is, we're not just moving bins like for using them for compacting garbage, the compacting units themselves as well as the bins, is MTERRA aware that the compacting units themselves and the bins are going to be disappearing?
That is correct. We've had a meeting with the vice president, and he is aware that if the compactor and the bins were removed, we'd only be basically providing the pads at which MTERRA's bins and compactors would be sitting. We don't want to change any configuration of the transfer station for the public. So if we were to move that infrastructure down below, MTERRA's bins would sit currently where the recycling bins are now.
I wonder if we can have a cost analysis of if we sold those units to MTERRA in the location, what it would cost them if they would get brand new ones installed. You know, how big of an investment do they want to put into, you know, what's this transition that they're going through? If they could probably find a cost-effective solution, that might be a benefit to them and may encourage, because if it helps offset the costs of brand new bins, or sorry, not even, we keep the bins because they're compatible, but compacting units without having to reconfigure our units to fit down in that other location, because it's a complete fabrication job for getting them to align. So to look at that option in a serious way, I think would save everybody a lot of extra work and maybe even save us financially as well.
So we would just keep the two compactors we have now for the regular garbage?
But if they were going to purchase the old ones,
right,
then because they're getting on in their useful lifespan, and if we were to purchase new ones, you know, just do a cost-benefit analysis to see what new ones would cost, because now we're getting brand new units, and that may limit how much MTERRA has to invest in something that they might not want to invest, you know, the full amount in if they have another option. So just to look at that as an option. And as well, I'm just wondering, is it looking that there's a very high probability that the institutions, businesses that do not fit the current, the structure of who is allowed to deposit recycled materials, is it looking like they will be left out of the...
No, and I've been very open with circular materials and saying that we are not going to be separating ineligible and eligible waste, and they were okay with that.
So, and that's even after the transition period?
Correct.
And so, just because the volume is pretty insignificant in the grand scheme of things?
Yes, McKellar's volume is very small, and we've proven that with the MPAC rate that we had to provide them at the beginning of the transition. So they have noted that we can foresee that even though RIPRA is putting this methodology through for a cap, more or less, I don't see us reaching that cap with our commercial waste.
Okay, because my question was that if there was going to be a significant change to our businesses in McKellar Township with how they can dispose of their waste, including recyclables, should they be aware that there's a change coming in the near future?
We've expressed to Circular Materials the limited capacity we have at our transfer station, and that we cannot allow eligible and ineligible material to be separated, mainly due to space constraints, and they're aware of that.
Okay, thank you.
I'm wondering in all of this, too, if the transfer station attendant has been communicated to. I mean, the other day I was in there, and he's quite concerned about the location if we went with new compactors, but they probably wouldn't fit down below because of the space that they have available. And so I think, I don't know whether he's been contacted or whether he's had any input into what's being suggested here, whether Tom could talk to him or... I'm just thinking he has some good ideas. He's out there, you know, on a regular basis, and he'd know the trouble they would have coming in with trucks to turn and pick up a compactor and how it's different from just a regular bin. So he had some ideas anyway, and I just want to make sure that he was consulted. Because that would be a concern. You mentioned maybe purchasing two new ones, or, and he's not sure that two new ones would fit in there. Or not necessarily new, but just any would fit in there. But maybe he hasn't measured it either. I don't know what discussion has taken place. I'm just wondering about January 1st, you mentioned about all of this. Does that mean the decision regarding the recyclable composting bins or the compactor bins have to be decided by then? Or
no, not.
It's April?
So starting January 1, MTERRA is going to be paying us rent for the compactors
rent,
and the bins.
Okay.
So there's no change there, no change to the public starting January 1. Circular Materials is starting to put out advertisements on social media and their website as to there's a few new accepted materials that they'll be able to collect, and the entire province, we're all recycling the same now. So January 1, there'll be no change for the public. The discussion around MTERRA purchasing the compactors and bins, that can happen at a later date. They and us aren't really in any rush. Again, council needs to decide that in the capital budget, whether they're willing to put money aside. If we were to make this transition to both the bins moving and to, I think staff need to just take another look at it and see if it's feasible.
Okay, any further discussion? All the question, all those in favor? None opposed, carried. On to 19.1. We have resolution 25-521, moved by Councilor Fechtman, second by Councilor Ryland. Whereas on August the 12th, 2025, Council of the Municipality of West Nipissing passed resolution 2025-263, requesting reconsideration of the planned use of glyphosate. Phosphate-based curbsides, and whereas the Council of the Municipality of Whitestone passed resolution number 2025-331 declaring their support for the Municipality of West Nipissing. Now, therefore, be resolved that the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar declares their support for the Municipality of West Nipissing, urging the province to reconsider the planned use of glyphosate-based herbicides and suspend aerial spraying until research is completed and reviewed. That this resolution be forwarded to Premier Doug Ford, the Honorable Mike Harris Jr., Minister of Natural Resources and Forestry, the Honorable Sylvia Jones, Minister of Health, and MPP Braden Smith. Discussion? Councilor Keck.
In 2014, McKellar Council, they passed the resolution Whereas not using a chemical herbicide to clear the hydro allowances does not threaten the safety of humans or the power lines. Whereas the use of Garland 4 as a vegetative killer is highly toxic to fish and aquatic animals and slightly toxic to birds, and recommended not to be used on or around water and wetlands. And whereas the District of Parry Sound is distinguished worldwide as a UNESCO Biosphere Reserve due to our unique aquatic animals, fish, wildlife, plants, and land formations. And whereas many of the our municipal official documents declare that Township has taken on the responsibility of protecting our natural environment, now therefore be it resolved that the Council of the Township of Keller refuse permission to Hydro One to spray Garland 4 in particular and herbicides in general along the Township's road allowances or on Township property, and further request that the manual method be used. And method used be the least destructive to the natural environment and the creatures that inhabit it. With the glyphosate, this is an aerial spraying, and it's much more toxic than the Garland 4 that council opposed in 2014. And glyphosates are widely spread in the environment. The general population is daily exposed to it via different routes, including consumption of both plant and non-plant-based foods. Glyphosate has been detected in high amounts in workers' urine, but has been detected likewise in bodily fluids such as blood and maternal milk, and also in 60-80% of the general population, including children. If we can limit and support any reduction or not the use of these toxic chemicals in environment, I think it's pretty important, especially when we're being exposed unknowingly every time we eat some food that has these glyphosates in it. So why would we spray the areas where we go and we think it's a healthy environment and free of herbicides and pesticides? So I think this is an important resolution to support, even though when this already came forward with the other municipality, it was in August. So I think the position is the important part in regards to this resolution.
Councilor Zula?
I think, wasn't it at the Municipal Association meeting in Callander where there was a lady doing a presentation about the bees, and she was talking about the glyphosate?
Yeah.
How they harms them.
So I think this one here, this is the neonicotinoid.
Yes.
Pesticides as well, but or herbicides and pesticides, but I think this is a start just to protect the environment that we live in, and at some point in the future, if we want to expand Trees Ontario and the 50 million tree program, they encourage private landowners to spray these glyphosates on their properties when they're planting the trees. So I think that at a future date, we could pursue a resolution regarding that. But I think just in support of, I think it was Wes Nipissing and Whitestone supporting this motion as well.
Yeah, that's the important thing I see here on the agenda. It says McGarry. I guess they started it because it's affecting them right away. And then Wes Nipissing picked up on it, and then Whitestone picked up on Wes Nipissing. So we're actually supporting, I guess, throughout. It's just not necessarily in one particular area. But it did start with McGarry's, I suppose. I don't know if anybody started before them. But.
So, and I think with McGarry, then it was a group that picked up the momentum called Stop the Spray. And so they're the ones who are encouraging municipalities to continue to support this resolution, because it's the whole concept of Stop the Spray.
Further discussion?
I have some thoughts on it. I actually went online and tried to find out for myself, are these chemicals really harmful to us or not? What studies have been done? It's kind of funny, any studies that the province has done says no, there isn't no health effects. Another study done says there could be. And another study says, well, it affected mice, but it didn't affect rats. So it's like by the time I was done, I was more confused than when I started. So, but I will support the resolution. Back in 2014, I was a little concerned, like, if we're going to not allow them to spray, especially if it was only McKellar, like along hydro lines, or were you going to be, you know, the underbrush going to start overtaking our hydro lines? It always kind of bothered me a little bit, but anything I've seen since then, if there's any problems, hydro goes out and just cleans them out if there's problems. So I don't think it's affecting us that way. So I think I would support the motion, because if it's ever a problem down the road, you could hire a bunch of guys with chainsaws and go eliminate the problem and have no effect on the environment, except for the chain oil flowing into the creeks.
And the smoke.
So, I don't know. It's a...
Okay.
Yeah.
All this information you're receiving that was AI generated, was
it? Yeah, you don't even know if that's a fact. Eh?
Any further discussion? Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Resolution 25-522, moved by Councillor Zulak, second by Councillor Hassan. Whereas the federal government has announced to plan Canada Post Corporation review from October the 1st, 2025 to March the 31st, 2026, as follows. Notionally, public consultations may be undertaken to consider the Canadian Postal Service Charter 2009 and to get a pulse on Canadians' needs in the use of the Postal Service. Should engagement be necessary, the goal would be obtain views from Canadians and stakeholders to redefine the government's service-oriented vision for Canada Post in a context where the postal industry landscape has changed. The needs of Canadians have evolved, and the volume of mail and letters has declined significantly to the point where Canada Post's sustainability has been undermined. And whereas the current plan does not ensure that there will be any public consultation or engagement with all stakeholders, and the process and terms of reference for the mandate review have yet to be announced, whereas the recent Industrial Inquiry Commission report recommended service cuts in the form of post office closures and the reintroduction of the community mailbox conversion plans of the last federal Conservative government, whereas it will be crucial for the mandate review to hear the reviews from municipalities on key issues, including maintaining Canada Post as a public service, the importance of maintaining the moratorium on post office closures, improving the Canadian Postal Services Charter, home mail delivery, parcel delivery, keeping daily delivery, improving postal banking, greening Canada Post, EV charging stations, food delivery, improving delivery to rural, remote, and Indigenous communities, and developing services to assist people with disabilities and help older Canadians remain in their homes for as long as possible, and at the same time, helping to ensure that good jobs stay in their communities and that Canada Post can remain financially self-sustaining. Therefore, be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of Thompson and McKellar formally writes the Minister of Government Transformation, Public Works and Procurement, Joelle Lightbound, to demand that no mandate review takes place until Canada Post returns to stabilized operations, until the full impact of the stamp price increase is realized, and until parcel volumes reflect sectoral demand. Therefore, be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Thompson and McKellar will include in its letter to Minister Lightbound that any review of Canada Post and the Canadian Postal Service Charter must be done through a full and thorough, transparent public review of Canada Post, including public hearings with all key stakeholders in every region of Canada. Therefore, be it resolved that the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar will make a written submission and or participate in hearings to provide input in the upcoming mandate review of Canada Post. Discussion?
Who is it copied to?
I'm not sure if this one is copied to. Joelle Lightbound, who is the
minister responsible for post office, amongst other things.
Right, yes. Government Transformation, Public Works and Procurement.
So I'm just wondering if we should be copying other municipalities to
within the correspondence they sent. It also says to send to your member of parliament, and then the president of the Canadian Union of Postal Workers and the president of the Federation of Canadian Municipalities. We can also send it to Whitestone as well, because typically when we pass...
Yeah, because they use ours.
Correct.
Yeah, I was just thinking of more support.
Yeah, well, there will be a follow-up submission by the looks of the letter, so...
Yeah.
I guess there it could be sent to those people, yeah. Further discussion?
Yeah, I think it's a good motion. I think we do need a review of Canada Post, and if it's such a simple thing as increasing postal rates, what is a stamp now? $1.20 or something?
Yeah.
About $1.20. You know what? Anybody that's that dedicated to use Canada Post now, with all the technology, you can avoid using it. Companies that are saying no, we think we need to use the service. They'll probably pay a large increase to $2.50 a stamp if they're that dedicated to continue. And let's cover the costs. Let's put it. I'm sure that's what they're. It's the only reviewing is like, okay, you're losing whatever they're losing, which is a ton of money. It's obviously they need more revenue, or they're going to cut back, which we kind of don't want to see. Isn't something McKellar doesn't want to see, kind of. So. I would lean toward more. You need more revenue? Well, generate more revenue. And this, I think the review will find that out.
Councillor Zula?
I know for myself, I probably could go pay a lot of bills at the bank or the credit union, but I will try and mail a check because I want the post office to stay here.
Mm-hmm.
So I will try. I try to always use it, buy the stamps there, you know. And
yeah. And you would probably pay a bit more if that's what it took.
Yeah, I would, because to me, having the post office here is really important.
Okay, any further discussion? Call the question. All those in favor? Not opposed? Carried. To 20.1, resolution 25-523, moved by Councillor Kekkonen, second by Councillor Ryda. Whereas the Royal Canadian Legion Branch 394 provides essential support in honoring Canada's veterans through the organization and the delivery of annual Remembrance Day services. And whereas the Township of McKellar recognizes the importance of supporting community partners who uphold remembrance, service, and the well-being of veterans. And now therefore be it resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar authorizes donation in the amount of $500 to the Royal Canadian Legion Branch 394's building fund in appreciation of the contributions to Remembrance Day services and the continued support for local veterans. And further, that this donation be included in the Township discretionary contributions for the 2025 fiscal year. Discussion? Councilor Kekkonen?
Was it the build? Is did they want the donations to the building fund?
Yes, staff spoke to Legion members and they said, when they accept donations, it has to be for a specific purpose, and right now they are trying to be compliant with AODA, so they have to have some modifications and renovations done to the branch, so specifying it to the building fund will help them, enable them to do that. We did speak about the blankets and the hats, and the money could be better used for this building fund, and the township does have a good supply of blankets, so we can provide that for them next year.
Okay, good, thank you. Any further discussion? All the question, all those in favor? Not opposed, carried. On to 20.2. That resolution 25-524, moved by Councilor Zulak, second by Councilor Hassman. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar is hereby give all permanent full-time staff, including market manager Jan Gibson and the fire chief Robert Morrison, a $150 Christmas bonus. Discussion? Councilor Zula?
Did you say 150? It's gone up, has it? Was it always 100?
It's been 100 for quite a few years.
Yeah, okay. Just wanted to make sure.
Councilor Haskell, I think, had commented before on this particular item. But.
Yes, I have that. I figured the $100 is. Well, more of an insult than anything else. It's like, that's all you're worth to us, kind of thing. So I think it's time it's increased.
I just wanted to be sure.
Kind of thing. It, unfortunately, council's not listed on there too, but that side.
Councilor Kerry?
So is that correct? Give all permanent full-time staff? Is that correct? Everyone of those is full-time?
Yes, yeah, the resolution's the same every year, and then one staff member that's not named on there has moved to permanent full-time. So those are the remaining two that are not.
So full-time though, is that accurate? For the market manager?
She's part-time.
So I'm just wondering if it should say all permanent staff?
It could, this is just how the resolution's been worded annually.
Yeah, it could be interpreted different ways, you're right. I mean, full-time staff, but then you include the other two who are not full-time, but it doesn't actually say that, but.
Or you could just name them each, right?
Yeah.
But, yeah, I take your point, but I mean, as long as there's no doubt as to who's getting it, so.
Right. Now, you mentioned too about different things for the office or using some of this money. I don't know where that discussion went.
We took a poll of staff, both office and public works. Instead of doing a check for $150, if they were gifted a McKellar sweatshirt and a McKellar travel mug, and then had a $50 gift card, if that would be okay, and they agreed that that was fine. A lot of the other municipalities, you see they have sweatshirts with the municipality's crest on it, so when they're out and about, they wear it. We don't have anything like that here, so it's just more of a morale thing, and to show staff support when you're out attending a meeting, you can wear the McKellar sweatshirt.
I like the idea.
It used to be for a turkey, though. The extra money, it always said that in the resolution. But what I'm wondering is, I mean, this is for the individuals, and I know they've agreed perhaps to do this, but it could be a line item for this material to be purchased as well, and not use this necessarily, so that they can do what they wish with this $150. It might be a turkey, as opposed to having to go along and buy township equipment or insignia or whatever you want to buy.
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
Yeah, so like where we normally would have the volunteer appreciation budget line item,
right?
Then when it's not being spent on that in a fiscal year, that because if you have that volunteer appreciation every second year or something, then the interim year, then you could have, you know, if you want to renew, everyone gets a new t-shirt and hat or whatever it is, jacket.
How about we could receive a quote for those, the apparel you're talking about, and possibly put it in as a line item and pay it separate from the bonus.
Yeah, that's what I prefer, and then they have more options with it.
It's more of a gift.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. $150 they can do whatever you want with it for the family. And, yeah.
We did price it out, so the cost of one sweatshirt and one travel mug was around $100.
The only issue with clothing is you have to make sure you get the right sizes too. But
yes.
Are they good travel mugs?
Like I believe so.
Yeti.
Yeah, they're not Yeti brand, but they are very similar to that cup, yes.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it's with quality.
So all the staff was asked?
Yes.
Everybody, they agreed that they would rather have something like that?
Yes.
Okay, just so we know.
Yep. Yeah, we wanted to make sure because, you know, some people may be waiting for that check, but they thought it was a great idea just because they wanted something McKellar to wear in the community. Mm-hmm.
When you make that much money, what's $100 here or there?
I can buy half a turkey.
$150, you kidding me?
Now, I just want to be clear on this because now you're taking this right back to the...
No, I'm just wondering, you know, if all the staff were asked about that. But yes, I agree with you that, you know, they still get the $150, right? Plus, as a line item,
right.
We purchase.
Okay. Just so that you don't have to take this $150 from each of them.
Yeah.
So just to be clear, $150 bonus check, and then we would be able to purchase apparel and a cup?
Yes.
Okay.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah. Like the township purchases the stuff.
Yeah. One sweatshirt and one cup per employee.
Yeah.
Okay.
Bonus on the bonus.
Any further discussion? Call the question. All those in favor? Not opposed? Carried. 20.3, resolution 25-525, moved by Councilor Keckin and seconded by Councilor Ryan. We resolve the Council of the Corporation of Township of McKellar does hereby authorize the Treasurer to transfer surplus funds as of December 31st, 2025, remaining in the Community Center operating / capital budget to the Community Center reserve account, and further that this transfer occurs annually without a resolution from Council moving forward. Discussion? Councilor Hassan?
Yes, I like the idea, but I got another thing I should bring up, because I just cringe watching people play pickleball in the community center hall and the ball's going up and hitting those historical posters that are all up on the one wall. Well, they're all curled severely. It's almost embarrassing how bad it looks now. So I think that's got to be a project that, and I think it's fairly simple. Well, once take them down, but I think they're really nice there. A lot of good comments on it, as I think we just need to frame them out, like a cross, or maybe a cross, or across the top and the bottom, maybe not, but a divider piece of wood or something that goes down between them. So basically it frames them out, which will actually add to the looks, I believe. So if we could seek somebody to do that job, kind of thing.
Well, how would they be attacked? The frame itself, how would they be attacked?
Hopefully Chris wouldn't have, they'll dig out what is actually in behind our sound material. I'd see whether studs in there, if there's something solid we could screw to. Why am I saying we? Yeah, okay.
We know who's going to do it.
Well, if I have to volunteer to do it, I will, but I was just wondering, I know a fellow has been done work in the community center for us, and I believe with good reviews, whether it's something we could inquire, whether they may be interested. I see it as a scaffolding rentals for a couple of days and probably 2 days of labor for maybe one person, maybe a two, I don't know. It's kind of generally what I see involved in it, kind of thing. So whether we could get somebody that would do that, if not, if it has to be done by a volunteer, it would be up to them. I would ask that the road crew rents scaffolding, put it into location, and then maybe somebody could take over from there. It's just a case of doing some measuring, some cutting, and fastening. So if staff could look into that, that would be wonderful. I think it would just really make it good, because those posters are really nice.
Yeah, they want them to be ruined.
Yeah. Oh, and I've seen balls go up and hit them hard, and stuff. Oh, it's, but luckily the balls are just light enough they can't. It's good material. It's not paper, so it's going to happen sooner or later. But on top of that, it just looks horrible. They're all just, you know, warped around. Anyways,
I don't want to affect this resolution necessarily, but you just want that done.
Maybe as part of this budget before that money's transferred over, or part of an expenditure of some sort. I'm thinking there'd be a window of opportunity. There's probably not too much going on in the hall during the Christmas.
Not during the closure, but December we're still pretty busy.
Yeah, so I'm just thinking that would be a window of opportunity. It'd be nice to have 2 days, kind of thing, but somebody's not going to want to work Christmas Day either. But anyways, leave it with you to see if somebody
might ask around and see if anyone has any other ideas. I don't know if just to see what the best way to do that is.
Yeah, it needs some brainstorming. Go over and look at it. But that's what I kind of see, is the frame up. It's, as long as there's something solid in there fastened to, like in between each poster, it's just upright wood. And whether you go natural wood or whether you get pre-painted white material, kind of thing. So, but it might take brainstorm on it and report back to us, I guess.
So it's sort of a light material, I would think, for the frame, if you could, because you get all of that. There's going to be quite a few slats.
Yeah, lighter, and I was almost thinking like a natural pine would maybe look good, maybe, you know, similar to the door framings in here and all that kind of thing, whether pine or it's kind of each person's preference. I don't know. I might actually try to visualize different finishes, kind of thing, for it, but I think it's just a case of getting somebody that will do it, and if not, somebody might couple of volunteers might try to take it on, but.
How would you attach the banner to a frame?
The posters themselves would just stay the way they are, and that's just a case of putting wood that will push to the warps in, and then securing them, so it's kind of got to know what's going to take to secure in by how long it screws, or is there any even anything. If it studs running this way, it's going to get very tricky if you're not hitting on the studs kind of thing. So a little bit of exploring would have to be done to determine the fastening.
Or you might go with something like what was done at St. Stephen's with the plywood backing, and then the frame that pinches the fastens the banner to the plywood, so that you're holding it's just one unit and you don't have to worry about. And how are, they have it hanging currently now from one focal, one fastener point at the top there.
Mm-hmm.
So then you're not so dependent on what's going to be behind the acoustic boards. But anyways, and then it's keeping the entire thing stretched. And I think it keeps it flatter as well. But
mm-hmm.
And then you might want to put this UV film in front of that, so that the poster itself might last longer. It's not going to fade, is what they've done in the Evelyn Watkins Moore Heritage Museum. They have that on the windows to stop the artifacts from deteriorating inside from.
I kind of almost wonder if it should be a historical input project, kind of a little bit, but at the same time, it's like whether we can do it at this level and get it done. But hey, go ahead, and then the other ideas pop up after. So it's kind of like maybe the historical committee should be made aware of this. Maybe they may have ideas on it, do you think? Or?
Okay, I can mention we have a meeting tomorrow, so I can mention
okay.
And see.
And then give any input to Carly, I guess. What, even if the meeting's here?
Yes.
Yeah, so it could even stroll over and have a look at them and try to maybe visualize something and as input, anyway.
And then, say that the township is willing to do it.
Yeah.
But want to make sure that they're okay with it.
Yeah, because it was the McKellar 150
mm-hmm.
group that put those together, right? So you want to make sure that everyone, because as soon as you start altering how something looks that they had put together.
Yeah, they might not be upset.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think you get a little bit of input and some feedback.
Sure.
But I think most likely people would agree that, something has to be done.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah. Yeah, basically, uprights I would see in between them, frame it out and make it look nice. And sounds good.
You're consulting the pickleballers too, is that what you said?
Well, there's a couple of retired carpenters there too.
Oh, okay.
You never know.
Yeah. For every time they hit one of the banners, that's...
You're a volunteer.
Okay, any further discussion on this? Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. To 20.4, resolution 25-526, moved by Councillor Haskin, second by Councillor Zulak. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby approve the application to the NOHFC for the installation of 5 new sets of playground equipment for the funding amount of $405,227. And further, that the Council confirms our commitment to cover our contribution towards the project in the amount of $105,057, which will come from the levy and parkland reserve account, and that we will cover any project cost overruns should they occur. Discussion?
This resolution comes from NOHFC. We are very much in the process of securing the grant funds. This is just a requirement that they need from us. I understand that the playground equipment hasn't been approved yet in the capital budget, but this is just one step further to getting the grant.
Great.
Wow.
Yeah.
A dream come true.
Yeah, I think it's similar wording to St. Stephen's, what was done there. You have to cover the extra costs.
Mm-hmm. by then our parkland might, fingers crossed that our parkland might take a good boost, would be nice.
Further discussion? All the question, all those in favor? None opposed, carried. To 20.5, and this is where I declare potential conflict, so I'll leave at this point.
We won't be long.
Resolution number 25527, moved by Nick Ryland, or Councilor Ryland, seconded by Councilor Haskam. Whereas the town of Parry Sound, at its regular meeting held on November 18th, 2025, passed a motion requesting that the Minister of Education extricate the West Parry Sound municipalities from the Near North District School Board, with a first preference to reinstate the former West Parry Sound District School Board, and a second preference to join the Simcoe Muskoka District School Board. And whereas the West Parry Sound municipalities collectively support this initiative and wish to present a united position to Minister Calandra, and whereas, although not explicitly stated, the town of Parry Sound Council's support for this initiative is grounded in concerns regarding the underrepresentation of West Parry Sound trustees on the Near North District School Board, despite the region contributing education levy revenues at twice the amount of North Bay. Ongoing governance issues with the board and the handling of the JK-12 school construction project, and whereas students residing in the township of McKellar attend McDougall Public School for elementary education and Parry Sound High School for secondary education, and whereas the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar wishes to support its students and calls upon the Minister of Education to address these long-standing issues to ensure that students in West Parry Sound are not further disadvantaged. Now therefore be it resolved that the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar hereby supports the Town of Parry Sound's request to the Minister of Education to extricate the West Parry Sound municipalities from the Near North District School Board, with a first preference to reinstate the West Parry Sound District School Board, and a second preference to join the Simcoe Muskoka District School Board, and further that this resolution be forwarded to the Town of Parry Sound so that a joint letter of support may be prepared and sent to the Minister of Education, MPP Braden Smith, and the Premier, and further that the Council of the Corporation of Township McKellar hereby supports the request from the parents of Parry Sound to be granted a seat at the December 9th meeting with the Minister of Education and the seven West Parry Sound mayors. Any discussion? Councilor Zulak?
So that meeting has been canceled?
No, this one here is December 9th. The December 4th presentation that the school board was going to present to give an update on where things were in the build of the new mega school, that's been canceled because as of, I think it was today,
yesterday
the minister has
taken over.
Yeah.
So that the December 9th one is still on?
That's correct.
So that is that's a motion from Parry Sound? From the town of Parry Sound?
Yes, they approached the other municipalities wanting a resolution from their council that they can put a joint letter forward. And they had said the reasons why the council brought forward the decision to either have the West Parry Sound board reinstated or moved to Simcoe Muskoka. And that wasn't captured in a resolution they passed, but that was the discussion at their meeting.
So what I'm wondering is, if there was a past West Parry Sound, and to reinstate that, did anybody ask for a first or second option? Like, why would we not just say we would want the West Parry Sound reinstated?
I'm not sure. I didn't listen to their meeting, but I assume that if in the case that the West Parry Sound board couldn't be reinstated, that that was their second option. I'm unsure as to how far they've investigated this, but it's just an initial resolution.
I'm just thinking, if there was a board at the time, to reinstate it wouldn't be that difficult because everything would be there, right, in the past. And we know what the problems are here, so we're, who's best to handle it would be, why would we be giving it off to Simcoe? Why don't we handle the problems right here ourselves?
And that's the opinion of the town of Parry Sound. If MacKellar Council wants to remove that second option, we can do that in the resolution as well.
In reading the resolution, it seems like we've added an additional piece that probably wasn't in the Parry Sound discussions, and that was the last further that the Council of the Corporation of Township of MacKellar hereby supports the request from the parents of Parry Sound to be granted a seat at the December 9th, 2025 meeting with the Minister of Education and the 7 West Parry Sound Mayor. So we have sort of crafted it in, you know, for MacKellar's position regarding that. So if we want to amend the resolution, we could just keep it at the one option.
I would like to. I don't know about the others.
Yeah, I kind of sort of thought the same thing, like that's going to be any better.
Well, yeah, if we're already taking second seats, you know, to North Bay, which is a larger municipality, and all decisions are made there, what's going to change if it's we're taking second seat to Simcoe board?
Yeah, that's all. And now it all boils down to one fellow, what he's going to, wants to do now, so.
I saw a Facebook post this afternoon from the parents saying that they're going to back out of it now and give it back to the municipalities to run with the mayors in specifics.
Okay.
So I was just looking for it now. I can't find it right away, but I know I read it. And that's very clearly the gist of it. In other words, they got it to this point and they want the municipalities to take over the interaction with, I guess, the Near North School Board, at least at this point. And all the rest. So
we
I don't know about the last paragraph. I might make it redundant, but I don't see any harm in leaving it there for the time being.
Well, if they specifically said that they do not want to cause an issue by with a council, because we'd be the only council basically bringing that that portion of the motion forward.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, if we're the outlier and they state in there they want to have a united front presented to the minister, then I think that removing that would align with that goal.
And I think the motion does accomplish what it's saying, and that's to basically let the minister know that we're disgruntled, you know, with the whole process, and to do something about it. Though I'm a little scared of one individual going to say what's going to happen to us, especially when I thought one statement he said, I won't repeat it, but I didn't really like it. But at the same time, I'm in favor of that motion. Whether you want to remove the Simcoe, that's up to the council.
I support them being there. I mean, even if they're just there as individuals, right, rather than an organization, which is
pretty
loosey-goosey anyway as an organization. But I mean, I respect entirely what they've been doing. But if they don't feel that they should be there as an organization, just be there as a parent. I don't want to exclude them under any basis.
Yeah.
I just think what I remember reading this afternoon was that they were saying, we're handing this over to the mayor first.
And that's because it's so political now. And
The other thing of interest, if we are paying the percentage that I've read about to the Near North School Board, if we pull that out from them, that surely is going to cause them a world of grief.
They've been, if it's so that true, that we've been getting ripped off.
Yeah, times 10, yes. Anyhow.
It's one of those things where you amalgamate into a bigger group. The more populated, more representation area is going to get what they want.
Oh, yeah.
And
okay.
That's what I always said when Parry Sound always says about amalgamating.
Yeah, wouldn't be good for us.
No.
I can't see it.
Yeah, this is a good case point, you know, that shows that you will not have your voices heard if you amalgamate, and the larger entity will benefit the most.
I hope the bottom line is they deal with the capacity issue to make sure we have capacity in our schools for our kids without all with shipping in a whole bunch of portables,
oh,
kind of thing, and get the school finished. It will be finished, unfortunately. That's the way big building projects go sometimes. That's unfortunate. It will get done.
I don't understand the handwritten section here, but with the only preference.
With the only preference.
Because
there's
nothing, I think, there's nothing
right.
left in this paragraph.
Yeah, this
I mean, they couldn't,
know
they couldn't figure it out.
Okay.
I mean,
okay.
I know like 26,
okay.
So 300.
The only preference
mm-hmm.
short.
So this goes
well, the meeting I went to, that's what I suggested that the municipalities get our
okay,
own
so this is
study
yes,
done on the
okay.
child
yeah.
population
okay.
for past, now, and the future. But really fine.
Just as long as you're really clear that it is the Parry Sound School Board is in it. I mean, it's got a line through it, so I think it's an issue. So,
the second part's messy. The first part's a bit messy, but it's stating the only preference is for to be extricated from the or sorry to reinstate the West Parry Sound Board.
Okay.
Yeah, how that funding ever got so out of whack is absolutely beyond me. And how did that happen without us as council, at least, not knowing that, right? I mean, that's, there's something that really stinks there. So. I mean that.
So, any further discussion? Those in favor? None opposed? Carried.
Saw three or four stories since yesterday, this time till now, about you know all this stuff churning and churning, but anyway, which is a good thing as far as I'm concerned. So.
Sorry, Dave, they wouldn't stop talking.
Nope. You could have gone home and had a nap, you know? So.
To 21.1, resolution 25-528, moved by Councillor Zulak, second by Councillor Haskin. Whereas the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar has given bylaw number 2025-52, the bylaw to establish a public notice policy, a first and second reading, now further gives a third reading and passes at open of Council the second day of December 2025. Discussion? Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. On to 21.2, resolution 25-529, moved by Councillor Ryan, second by Councillor Kekkonen. Be it resolved that the Council of the Corporation of Township McKellar hereby gives bylaw number 2025-57, being a bylaw to adopt an asset management plan, the first and second reading. Further gives a third reading and passes an open council this second day of December 2025. Discussion? A few changes made, that was good. Not as many as we wanted, but I suppose we can't delay this much longer. Call the question, all those in favor? None opposed? Carried.
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
Do we plan to do something, I don't know if Mike has it here with him, but several times I've seen the spreadsheet that he had from some years ago, I don't know. Is there a plan to do something similar to that, just to kind of recap dollar-wise, you know, where money is, I don't know if we could say it intended, but where maybe it's expected?
Yeah, this asset management plan just scratched the surface. Staff need to work on redoing those charts and identifying all of our assets and whatnot. So there's much more work to come on this.
Okay. I assume so. I know we've touched on that before anyhow, so thank you.
I think the most useful, I mean, they even had two appendices, I guess, for the 2016 one, I think it was, and those are quite detailed and right across. They actually went for, I don't know, it was a 10-year period of what it was, but I think they were very useful. And I noticed by the last few years, of course, it gets a little sketchy there. They're not really sure the amount or think that would be useful, yeah. On to 21.3, a resolution 25-530, moved by Councillor Haskin, second by Councillor Zulak. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of Township McKellar takes bylaw number 2025-61, being a bylaw to regulate the maximum speed limit on Middle River Drive, first and second reading. Further gives a third reading and passes an open council the second day of December 2025. Discussion? Just a bit concerned on the 20 kilometer, and the reason being that that's the sign we have in stock. It doesn't seem to have much of an engineering background to it. And they've asked for 25. I don't know since they all were agreed with that. My worry with the 20 is that, and I know it's come up with Deerfield too, that's what they believe in the 20. It's not a usual speed. And if one gets 20, are we going to run into a problem with other subdivisions that are maybe a bit bigger who've already complained about the speed limit being too high? And they'll also be wanting 20s. And how do we control that as well? How do we even enforce it? 20's getting fairly low is what I'm suggesting. And I know it's a dead-end subdivision there and it's a fairly short distance, but my worry is setting a precedent at 20, especially when they didn't even ask for 20. And I'm not sure, if time is of the essence on this particular one, how long it would take to order a 25-kilometer sign.
Yeah. I thought I mentioned at the last meeting, maybe I didn't, that I sort of thought maybe we should have a report from the director of operations.
We did on this one. Just a one-page thing.
Oh, right. Okay.
Councilor Riley?
My recollection from some time on council, might have even been the last council, that we discussed having signs up when you entered the municipality saying that the speed limit was 20 unless otherwise specified. Now, I don't know if that was ever from a bylaw or what that source was, and it may have been this term of council, and I don't have it's certainly not recent anyhow, but I can remember saying that we would have signs at the various points of entry into the township saying that.
I can see it as a point of entry into the subdivision, that's where you'd want a sign posted, but to say into the township, I'm not sure. It used to be on Center Road, for instance, when it was, I guess it was 80 kilometers at the point, 50 miles an hour at one point. I think that was the standard, and it was never, I suppose it was posted, but the same sort of thing you were talking about, unless otherwise posted, this is a speed limit. And then it was reduced to a 60, I think, instead of the 80. And 60 is fairly standard. I'm not sure you'd want to do something like a 20 unless otherwise posted entering the township.
No.
That would stir up
yeah.
a lot of trouble, I think.
Yeah, well, do you remember the complaints when we posted them, the signs? But, I could walk faster.
Mind you, they were talking about arterial roads, like Center Road, amongst other things, which, yeah, that's not an appropriate limit for that road or for Herdville or for probably at least four or five others. But, I mean, on Middle River, I mean, anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, maybe can I propose that we just defer this and ask for a report from the director or superintendent, for opinions or background that he's able to gather?
We do have a report in our council package. There's a one-page report there.
No, I recall, but anyway.
I don't think he's going to give us another report. I mean, that's his report, and giving his reasons why it should be 20,
okay.
But Councilor Cutman?
If we wanted to defer it and get some feedback from the residents in there, if the 20 is so that, that's not a big surprise, well, we're
yeah.
asked for 25, so just to see if, council's considering 20 kilometers an hour. Are the residents okay with 20?
Yeah, or do you want the 25?
Yeah, as I said before, I have no problem with that deferring and get some opinions, but once you start the 20, be expecting more for 20, and if you're comfortable with that, that's fine.
Well, if that's what they want, and they all agree to it, rather than us going putting signs up and then like start complaining.
Mm-hmm.
So would we have to notify them? Do we do first and second reading only, and or
probably defer it just so that it's not this
Yeah.
Yeah, I think defer it so it's not.
Yeah, we're thinking of putting a 25, will that be suitable to us?
Or a 20?
Yeah, 20, yeah, suitable.
And if they are insistent that no, we want 25, well, then it alleviates you know, any concerns that.
Well, we have a recommendation for 20 now, and 20 means you can go 40, so. So I'm sure they would be fine with the 20. So like they were saying, well, others want 20, which we might think, no, there's no way it should be that low on a road. But I think, for example, a couple I know, say Paulette's Road or whatever, you'd be almost speeding if you're doing more than 20 on that back street. And
yeah.
I'm sure this one's similar to
that.
Yeah.
So it's, 20 to me seems okay for that. Back little street like that.
Well, then, could I suggest that we have, you know, deferral, as you said, but that we have more study put into it, because you're talking about distance, not length, and the nature of the road itself.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to go back to when we did the blanket, looked at all of the roads in the township. But we need some criteria. Then you mentioned Paulette, you mentioned Middle River Drive. Are there others that are that short that should also be 20? And when do you start distinguishing between 20, 25, 30, and 40? It depends on the length, number of people in there, the nature of the road. What's our criteria, rather than just saying that, we're going to put a number on here? Councillor Zula?
Well, I thought, though, that when this was brought up, we thought that maybe we would go ahead with just as people requested it.
Yeah, but that's...
Rather than doing
a
study of everything.
Should there not be some reasoning behind it from somebody experienced in the field, rather than just say, well, I'd like that to be such and such. That's great, but are all the people going in there going to agree? And will it be the same people? And I'm just not sure if we should leave it to the individuals.
I just think it's a lot of schmazzle for a small thing.
Well, it may be small, but it could snowball too, because people look at the procedure we're using and then decide that, okay, let's do a petition too, and we want ours 33, as an example.
33
is a third. We've got 20-kilometer-an-hour signs.
Yeah, that's our reasoning. I'm just thinking there should be some...
objective criteria.
Right, like for an engineer or something.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I think that if you look in, I think the Ontario Traffic Manual, like, it has specific details, and it looks at exactly what you said, volume of traffic, are there curves in the road, are there hills, are there blind hill tops, the width of roads. So the Ontario Traffic Manual would give layout some type of criteria, and then we can look and see if what aligns with what the specifics that they're mentioning in there. So, and then that way we have a criteria for future roads, speed limits on roads.
Yeah, and I'm thinking too, with the bylaw, if we're going to defer this, it should actually quote, and I'd sent this in earlier, but the Highway Traffic Act, the way it's worded, you can't, municipality cannot control anything over 100 kilometers an hour, and that should be part of, I mean, that's understood, I guess, but it should be part of the whereas, and I think it was taken out for some reason. It just wasn't quoted exactly from the legislation, and I think it should, just to cover us.
I don't think we should set 100 on the Middle River, but
no.
I'm just curious.
The guy at the end. Eh?
Has anybody ever actually had a speeding ticket in McKellar?
Well, it's the OPP. You see, we don't even control it through bylaw for it. So,
and I've been stopped, I think, 11 times in McKellar on ride spot checks. Most of them very close to my house, but I've never seen a speed trap even then. So, right. Because they were looking for somebody, and it wasn't me.
Change your vehicle.
Oh, that's why I bought a new truck, you know.
No, it's hard enough even on Highway 124, even with our signs up there saying, you know, you're going 60 instead of 50, or 80 or whatever through the village. And I don't know whether anything ever comes of that either. So unless they're sitting there and actually stop somebody.
Yeah.
But,
but when I've been stopped, they didn't even have a speed camera with them.
No.
Right? Or a speed device. So, yeah, I'm not sure if it's a camera. But,
so I'll put this out for deferral. It's not your motion, Councillor Haskam. So.
Yes, sure.
Okay. All those for a deferral? All questions? Okay. Now, is it clear on what council's expecting?
No.
From deferral?
Just shove it underneath there somewhere.
Okay. I'm not sure you want to start spending the money and go back to that original resolution where we looked at all of the different roads.
I don't think so.
This is just one.
I can casually ask Bob Hughes what his opinion would be.
Right. Okay. Unfinished business as of December 2nd, 2025. Anything on that list? Add or subtract? Any new business? Any public notices, announcements, inquiries, reports by council members? Other than Councilor Zulak and Belvedere? Oh, cool. You wanted to, you said yes.
Yeah, so you were saying, Mike, about the deficiencies.
Mm-hmm.
John continues to identify deficiencies in the original design. Just things as they were going along building that they thought, that won't work right. So they changed it. It didn't change any in the costing or anything. It's just once they got to that point and they thought, no, that's not going to work. We should have it over here or something like that. So that's all that is, but it doesn't change anything with the costing and the people are working with them, you know, to do that. Like they've said, no problem. Yeah, that sounds like it makes more sense. We'll do that instead of this, like a window over here or you know, the vestibule. They were putting stuff in a different spot, and yet when you have everything in place there, you see, no, that's not going to work. It would be better if it was done this way. So that's what that issue was.
Well, that's good. This
yeah.
is working out.
Yeah.
Working out good.
And it's moving along really, really well, like you said there. Right now, they have already brought the cement for the addition out front has been poured, and the steel came in, I think, last Friday, and they're going to be putting the steel up and everything.
Wow.
So it's moving along good. And the downstairs, the administration, is all pretty well completed, and they'll be doing the move on the 17th, 16th and the 17th of December. So they'll be down there. And then Near North is doing the IT, which is a big job to transfer all of, like here you were saying there was wires and things all over the place. Well, there they've got a special room and everything's going to be in there. And so it's all moving along really well that way. What else was there? Yeah, they have a parallel plan. It should take 2 days to get that all together. And also in the home itself there, they have taken out all the carpeting and they have put new flooring in, and the carpeting was really old and starting to, when they shampoo it, it comes up and everything. So it's been a process over the last couple of years, and they just had one area left to do, so we've given them the okay and they're doing that area, and then it'll all be done, and it looks really, really nice.
Mm.
And everybody's quite happy.
Yeah.
What else is there? We're having a budget meeting on the 10th. It was supposed to be on the 17th, but I just got an email that they're going to try and do it on the 10th, so we should have that soon.
And tie in with the budget, I guess, is a question. The contractors are being paid.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, we're all online. We're all in.
So where's all that money? Since we had the presentation on debentures, how are they getting paid?
From what we have. We have in our reserves there for that stuff.
Okay.
Yeah, it's all being paid.
Okay, so if it's all being paid, why do we need the debentures?
Well, that's for, as
future?
She said, yeah, for in the future, for our IO agreement, no
right, but my
infrastructure
question
on Ontario.
Is, I guess, and I'm just being facetious here, but if they're all being paid, why do we need to borrow?
I don't know.
Good question.
Yeah.
And I don't know how they're being paid, to be honest. I don't know where that money's coming from, so.
Yeah, well, I can find out.
Yeah, find out. I'm almost thinking of like somehow or another, it must have been a loan set up until such time as
yeah.
the, a line of credit until such time as the debenture is all in place. But
I don't
yeah,
think
find
so.
Out for sure.
I don't think so, because we have so much put aside for capital, so I think that's where it's coming from.
Yeah, because that's going to be a heck of a lot of money.
Yeah, as it comes. And then but I'll find out for sure. And then the library. I just wanted to say that we had our volunteer little luncheon, and it's amazing the volunteers that we have. And just to listen to them speak about the library and how much they appreciate the library now, because it's sort of totally changed. It's the real hub. People come there and they have the craft McCrafters, and then they have somebody doing sewing lessons, another one's doing knitting lessons, another one, you know, and somebody doing cards that you embroider and send out, and just listening to them when they were talking about all the different things, and the Cricut machine and the 3D machine, and people can't wait to get in there and use it, and they're on waiting lists, and then people doing ornament, what do you call it, centerpieces, and you know, it's really, really booming. And they have, and they really, people that it was even mentioned, people in Broadbent that have never ever been to the library are coming to the library now, and they love it. So
that's good to hear. Because that was a struggle.
Yeah.
back in the 1980s.
But no, that it just seems like the atmosphere has totally changed, and it's just all. There's even someone comes in the summertime when it's the busiest time, and just comes to help out because the staff is so busy trying to do the other stuff that you know these volunteers come and they'll check books out and do and. Some families, they say, come up here to their cottage and they spend the whole day in the library. So it's just, it's really nice to hear. Yeah, that
it's still a quiet place for people to read. And
yeah, yes, yes, except for when
sounds
we have
like
a board
party
meeting.
Hall.
Yeah, so no, it was really nice to hear them speak about how much they appreciated it and loved doing the stuff there.
Great.
That's it. And all you know, and the municipal association meeting, the spring meeting is in the spring and in Kearney. And Carly's handling all of that. Maybe a little change in the menus, but I think it'll be to the good.
Uh oh. Councilor Haskell, are you okay?
As long as it's to the good.
It'll be to the good.
Haven't had lobster for quite a while.
And that's all.
Okay, any further reports? Committees?
Yes, I could. Recreation had a meeting, and even though we're playing second fiddle to the library, we still do well. We were the number one group in this municipality. Kids' Christmas party, big planning for that for December 12th. So we're hoping for good things there, and we've got... our gift amount for each child has gone up quite a bit, so it should be the kids should be quite happy.
And were you holding that in the library?
Going to have to, or nobody else show up, I guess. So that's our main event for this month, and then we'll head in. We don't have a meeting again until New Year, and then we'll start dealing with the other projects. But another thing, we had a letter of request to start up Canasta in the community center, which is a kind of a card game. I don't know exactly how to play it, but somebody's interested in starting that up. So So if there's any times left, which I think there are some, that they'd be, they may be talking to the office. Did anybody inquire about that at all yet?
Not that I've heard. Another space that might, depending on how many people attend, the youth room has had a little bit of a facelift, and that might be a good spot for a smaller group to go if it's just a few, but...
Yeah, that's not a little bit of a facelift. That's a major facelift.
Really?
I don't know if anybody's aware of it.
No.
Yeah, Brandy's put a lot of hard work down there,
really?
And we're excited to have it be more of a usable and rentable space.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure about the number of participants for that, but I'm sure either we could fit them in the hall or that's another option as well.
Yeah, and both those areas were mentioned. Yeah, downstairs, the youth room or the all-purpose room up here is another option too. So anyway, they'll see how they can fit in. We're getting a good deal on advertising sign, one of the roll up ones that rolls down into nothing and you can roll it up kind of thing. It's like, I don't know, 7 feet high or whatever. This Dynamic Snowmobile Club has them down at the market with their booth kind of thing. And the fellow actually volunteers for the snowmobile group and said he would really give us a super deal on one of those signs, so we'll get one of them made up. And I've seen on McKellar Township Facebook page the ad for looking for new people to join the committees. That was a wonderful ad. So was glad to see that, because we could use another member or two. I'm sure like every group can. So I think that's it for my report.
Okay, Councilor Kekin.
So this facelift in the youth room, the historical committee had historical items still in there?
At past tense, yes, had.
So were those, are they still there, or?
I'd have to speak about what specific items, but they've been relocated. Some have moved to the museum. Others have been moved to another storage part in the basement. So if you're looking for anything specific, let us know.
Okay, maybe we'll take a look tomorrow. And we don't want them going to the same location that the glass display cabinet went to. So, as long as nothing's being thrown out. But anyways, historical committee meeting tomorrow at 2 p.m., anyone that might be interested. But the big planning event that we've been working on is the Christmas Past event on December 13th from 2 to 4 p.m., Trends and Traditions of Toys. So there's going to be a really good display of a lot of different toys from the different decades. So I think that'll be exciting for a lot of people to see some of those things that they might have had at some point in time, or they didn't remember they had, but then when they see them there, I think they'll be pretty amazed. So that's December 13th from 2 to 4 p.m., and this is the big fundraising event the Historical Committee does every 2 years. $15 a person, two for 25, and $10 for a child. So there'll be music, stories, displays, history, old-fashioned Christmas pageants. So come out and enjoy the festive activities.
December 13th?
Yep.
13th.
Saturday, it's a Saturday.
2 to 4, right?
Yeah.
Okay, any further reports? Planning board was canceled, so we have no report there. Apparently there's one, and I think Councillor Haskell wanted it on the 22nd, so it's still there, but... I don't know whether you've talked to Patrick or not. We're changing that time.
No, I didn't. Yeah. But I wonder if Carly, do you want to just throw Patrick just saying the council brought up about the meeting being on December 22nd? Whether I'm sure all committee members would be happy if it could be scheduled 1 week sooner. And if he says no, there's applications, it's not possible.
Okay.
We do the 22nd. Not a big deal,
yeah.
But
all right, because if there's time periods that need to be met.
Yeah, so just in case he's just got enough on his mind probably.
Okay, on to item 25. Resolution 25-531, moved by Councillor Kekinen, second by Councillor Ryan. It resolved the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar has hereby received the consent agenda as presented. Anything you wish to pull from that to discuss?
I won't tell a story after the meeting if I bring this one up, but it's kind of funny where the speed cameras were banned in the city kind of thing, and it's a counselor went on there and it gets brought up that I guess that they were not being allowed or used whatever, but they were still recording the data that what vehicles were coming in at, and they increased 11 kilometers an hour the average speed by these cameras. I think when Mr. Ford said no more cameras, he probably expected the data end of it to be shut down. So anyways, this counselor from one of the Toronto municipalities has this data that's saying speeds increased by 11 kilometers an hour through these zones. You better hurry up and get his speed bumps in.
That's what he's pushing for, wasn't it?
Potholes.
Yeah, we have
all the measures. We're going to have to support our dads. Yeah, trucking on Hurtville Road at those speeds.
That's our speed deterrent.
Okay, call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. And the question, comment, period related to items on the agenda. Anybody in person or on Zoom? Any questions about items on the agenda? Hey, Mr. Rubin. Just a second. Your volume's pretty low, so we're trying to adjust this here.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, that should be better.
I think that's better, yes.
Okay, great. Thank you, Mayor Moore. Question I have for you this evening is regarding the asset management plan and trying to understand what does it mean, what is the process when council adopts and approves a report such as the asset management plan. The asset management plan is a very detailed plan, as you know, and has a lot of, as they call them, opportunities and recommendations within the plan. Does that mean when it's adopted and approved, the council is accepting those recommendations and will implement those, or that they will actively review those and staff will report out at a later date of whether or not they are able to implement those? Just trying to understand the process a little better, please.
Yeah, since it's a report, there's nothing mandatory in that. It's just suggestions from what their professional background, and it would be going to staff certainly during our budget discussions to decide what can we afford, what can't we afford this particular year, what's really necessary. For instance, one thing, not necessarily in the asset, well, I guess it's mentioned in the asset management plan, the bridge study, and it mentioned the Broadbent Bridge, Dickinson Road. So that's one thing that's a high priority early in the spring. And same sort of thing in the asset management. Suggestions in there would be looked at by the appropriate staff, and during our budget discussions decide what is high priority, what isn't. So again, the recommendations are not mandatory that we do them. We need the asset management in place. Certainly if we're looking for grants for future projects, that's the first thing that the grantor is going to be looking for. Do you have anything in place, and where is it in the study? Is it shovel ready, that sort of thing. So we need it in place and with the recommendations in there. And that should help, too, I think, through our staff as they determine what we should be applying for in grants, what's available, and backed up by the asset management plan.
Okay, thank you. Now, specifically, page 104 has some recommended budgeting practices. So would the treasurer look at those and report back to council to say whether or not they want to implement those? There's strategies to accommodate growth-related needs. There's a section on performance monitoring. You know, I'm just curious to know whether or not those things will be actively reviewed to determine whether or not the township wants to implement them.
Short answer would be yes. They'd be looked at by staff. The one thing you have to remember, we ran into a bit of a problem with this asset management plan, is that some of the statements are generic, not so much particular to one particular township. We noticed that some of them were, whether it was a mistake or what it was, transferred by a different name. So we have to look at what is actually applicable to the township, and the treasurer would be part of it, as you say, and And then he would be in consultation with the public works superintendent and other department heads.
And do they come back to council to advise that they don't recommend implementing them, or it's ultimately up to their authority and decision to or not to implement them?
Well, would certainly come back to council, yes, and that they would have a report recommendation. They might have another year in mind rather than this coming year, depending on what the management plan says. Like a bridge study, as I said, depends on what is high priority, and they would recommend, but ultimately it is a council decision, yes, based on the professional background of the staff.
Great. Thank you very much.
Great. Thank you. On to 27.1, resolution 25-532. Moved by Councilor Zulak, second by Councilor Haskin. Be resolved that Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby give bylaw number 2025-62, being a bylaw to confirm the proceedings of Council of first and second reading, further give a third reading and pass an open Council the second day of December 2025. Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. On to item 28, resolution 25-533, moved by Councilor Cuffin, second by Councilor Ryland. Be resolved that Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar adjourn this meeting at
8:21 p.m.
to meet again on December 16th, 2025 for regular meeting of Council or at the call of the mayor. Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Meeting is now adjourned.